Greetings to you all this morning in the name of Jesus. I had to think as we were singing those songs, Brother Julian made mention of the commitments that we made. And I had to think of that myself as I was singing. You know, I'm making a lot of promises to God. I'm committing myself to God. I'm committing myself to serve Him basically no matter what. And I'm saying that I'm going to be faithful. And I'm asking for His blessing, and I'm asking for His help, and I'm asking for His direction. So many times throughout the course of life, we sing those commitments, we make those commitments, maybe even in our heart and mind. We hear something in a message, or we read something in the Bible, and we make a commitment. But then we get into everyday life, and for some reason, it seems like it's really hard to live up to those commitments. You know, it seemed so important, it seemed so real and so strong a conviction in our lives when we read or heard or sang something. And yes, this is something that needs to be done, this is something that I want to do. And then the everyday life starts coming our way and we get involved in things that need to be done. We get involved in good things. We get involved in necessary things. And it takes our time and it takes our energy, and we forget so soon those commitments that we made. Eight weeks ago, May 25th to be exact, we had a Sunday school lesson about Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And if you read the lesson scope of that lesson, you came across these verses. You can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading at verse 37. This is in the middle of Stephen's sermon, kind of breaking into his thought pattern here, kind of now breaking into the middle of it. But Acts chapter 7, verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto you, unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake unto him in Mount Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifices unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. As I read those verses 2 months ago, there was a phrase in those verses that really stuck out to me. And as I said, you know, it made an impression on me and it convicted me. And I had to think, where am I today? Verse 39 says that they would not listen to Moses. They thrust him away from them. And the last phrase in that verse says, and in their hearts turned back again unto Egypt. I thought for a while about that. And as my mind kept going and going, I thought, well, there's a message for all of us in that. And I thought I was going to title the message this morning, Where is Your Heart? And as I thought about that more and more, I thought, no, that's not what the title should be. Because that's not what God was impressing upon me. God was impressing upon me where my heart is, not yours, where mine is. So the title of the message this morning is, Where is My Heart? And as I look at that, I'm going to be honest with you this morning as I bring this message, that a lot of the things that I am sharing with you this morning are the things that I struggled with over the last 2 months in relation to allowing God to continue to speak to me as to where my heart actually is. This morning, as I was sitting there finishing up my notes on the message, I began to really wonder where my heart is, because I kept getting text messages from individuals, and I kept looking at my phone, and I thought, well, where is my heart this morning as I'm preparing? Is my heart really on this? Or every time my phone buzzes, do I need to take a look at it and see who's contacting me now? You might say that's a little thing. But I have to admit that over the past little while, my phone has been taking up a lot of my time, my heart. I wanted to look at it. I wanted to read something. I wanted to look at what the news or the weather is, and so on and so forth. It says they turned from God and Moses, returned to Egypt in their hearts. Now they were still at Mount Sinai. They were still with that group of people that had left Egypt and was traveling toward the promised land. They hadn't actually gone back to Egypt. But in their hearts, that's where their desire was. That's what they were thinking about. That's where they were concentrating on. And right along with that, when that happened, they made an idol, and it says they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. If you look back into the Old Testament at the account there, it says, they say, this be the gods that brought us out of Egypt. Something that they had made. A golden calf. I don't know how big it was. But something that they had made is what they were giving credit to for bringing them to the point where they are now, which is out of Egypt. One thing that really impressed me as I read over this was the fact that they had trouble traveling forward, traveling toward the promised land. They had trouble traveling that direction as long as their heart and mind was still back in Egypt. And you and I today, if our heart is not on the goal of heaven, if our heart is not centered on the promise of God to provide for his children and to bring them to the promised land, we're going to have a hard time traveling that direction. Most of the time, we're going to travel in the direction that our heart and mind is set on. I look back in the Old Testament account of the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And I did not write all those down, but all the different things that God did for them, all the things that the miracles that God worked for them to get them out of the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let you go. But he couldn't fight against God. He tried. Different times his magicians did this or that, and different times he made conditions on Moses and Aaron. But in the end, God worked in miraculous ways to deliver the children of Israel out of that land. Brought them all together, and they moved out in a group. And yet, on the way, within the first 3 months, they complained 4 times and desired to go back into Egypt. The first one was at the Red Sea. They got to the Red Sea. The sea was in front of them. And the army was approaching behind them. And they complained to Moses, "Moses, weren't there enough of graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die?" The waters at Marah, they were bitter. They couldn't drink. And they complained, "Bring us out here to die of thirst." The wilderness of Sin. They wished they had died in Egypt, where they had plenty of food. They were hungry. They were complaining. Their mind went back to Egypt. They forgot all about, or seemed to forget about, all their trials and struggles and heartaches and slavery and so forth. They thought about the food that they had. God sent quails and manna. At Rephidim again, there was no water. You brought us out of Egypt to kill us with thirst. Continually going back to Egypt, continually saying how good we had it in Egypt because of the struggles they were facing as they traveled to the Promised Land. Again, I say, brothers and sisters, it is hard for us to continue to travel toward the goal if our heart is back here. The question comes to all of us: where is my heart? We have made the decision to follow Jesus Christ. We have made the decision to leave Egypt and to follow Christ. We have made the decision to travel, and I know the analogy of the Promised Land isn't necessarily totally accurate, but to leave the old life and to travel toward a new life, and to be involved in a new life. The road is hard. I will agree with that. The road is tough. It's not something easy to do. It goes against the flesh. It goes against those things that we would like to do, or those things that would be easy to do. And we look back to maybe some times before we were Christians, and we think about, well, we didn't have all these struggles then. And we forget about the conviction and the condemnation that we had in our lives. We look back there and we say, well, we had it easy. We didn't have all these battles. We didn't have all these hardships. And that may be true because you weren't fighting against Satan at that point. You were letting him have his way in your life. But now the battles are hard because Satan doesn't want you to keep on traveling. Satan wants to drag you back. And in a way, he does that by convincing you that you had it better back then than what you have it now. He wants you to forget about the promises that God made for you and for your life and for eternity. And he wants you to look back at how easy it would be if you just give up and follow him. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus, here in the Sermon on the Mount, is talking to the individuals that were gathered around him. He's talking to his disciples and to the people that were around him as he was sitting there on the mountain. And he says in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus is making it very plain here. When he talks about treasures, he's talking about valuables. He's talking about things that we value. He's saying where you have your values is where your heart is going to be. And he says, do not lay up treasures on earth, because they're going to corrupt. They're going to go away. You're going to lose them. He says, lay up treasures in heaven. Now, I have a question for you this morning, and I want you all to participate in this. I'm going to ask Brother Julian to come up here in the pulpit. He's taller than I am. His handwriting's probably better than mine, and his spelling's probably better than mine. So I'm going to ask him to write on the board across the top, treasures. We're going to draw a line down the center of the board. And on the one side, it's going to be earth, and the other side, it's going to be heaven. Now I want you all to consider this morning what some of the treasures are that could be on the earth side or the heaven side. I want you to think about not things that you saw other people do, but I want you to think about things that you experiences in your own life. What are some of the treasures on earth that you struggle with, or that you want to admit this morning that you have? Anyone? What's one of the treasures that we could have on earth? Pride and all that goes along with it. Maybe you don't want to be real personal. Maybe you just want to mention a few things that could be on that side. Maybe you all aren't like me, that you struggle with things that you know belong on that side. Pride is pretty much an all-inclusive one, but what else could we put in there? Esther? Accomplishing work goals. Anything else? Anger.
Human praise.
Human praise. All right, let's go over on the heaven side. What are some of the treasures? It would be on the heaven side. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What are some of the things that do that? What are some of the treasures that we can have on the heaven side?
Peace among friends.
Peace among friends.
Our children there.
Connection with God. His word in our heart. What else? Pardon? Okay. There'll be no pain and sorrow when we get there, but what's the treasure that we're laying up in order to reach that goal? Are we willing to deal with pain and sorrow in a Christian way? You know, we can gripe and complain, and we can blame it on others, and we can find all kinds of reasons. But you know, individuals that endure hardship in this life, and that was one that I thought of, enduring hardship. Does that lay out treasures in heaven? If we do it properly, if we do it by the grace of God instead of just finding fault with everything. It's because of this or because of that. It's because of somebody else. It's because of their influence on my life, or they told me to do this, and now I hurt. You know, it's many things, but we can endure hardship as a good soldier. It's laying up treasures in heaven. Gary. Investing in other people. Brother Steve, I think you had your hand up.
Similar thought, bearing each other's burdens.
Bearing each other's burdens.
The way that Gary just described.
Doesn't stop there. Can go a lot further than that. Anything else?
Peace and joy.
Peace and joy. And that is peace with others, peace. Right. 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 Basically, keeping peace with God. I don't know if that would be. Peace among friends, peace with God. You know, if we allow God to have his way in our lives and we have peace with him, I think we are laying up treasures in heaven by that. All right, I think we could probably keep on going there, but I think we'll say that's good enough for now. Thank you, Brother Julian. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says almost the same words at a different time in his ministry. And there's a few thoughts there that I think are important for us to look at. Luke chapter 12, verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fadeth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." Brothers and sisters, this morning, we ask ourselves the question, I ask myself the question, where is my heart? The treasures on this side of the line will almost always prevent us from accumulating treasures on the other side of the line. And I ask myself the question, as I go through life, how do I keep my heart over here on these treasures? We get up in the morning, we have responsibilities. Sister Esther said, accomplishing the work goals. You know, in itself, there's nothing wrong with that. We have things we need to do. There are things that we can rightfully be employed in. But what happens when something, when the call of God wants to interrupt those things? I have a goal set. I'm going to accomplish this and this and this today, or maybe this week. And then the church calls and says there's been a bad storm or a flood, and they're asking for help to go and help the family, the unfortunate families. Am I going to stick to my goals and say, well, I got to get these accomplished. If I can get these accomplished, then maybe I can go. Or am I going to be like Gary said, I'm going to give time and money and effort to help somebody else in order to be a witness and a testimony for God and to lay up treasures in heaven? There's choices we need to make throughout life. There's choices we need to make every day. Whether we're going to be laying up treasures on earth or whether we're going to lay up treasures in heaven. The choice is ours. The choice is something that we need to make. And as we do that, we need to understand that If we do this, we serve others, we endure hardships, we are connected with God, we can be striving for those things simply for our own gain and purpose. And that's not building treasures in heaven. In order for me to have my heart set on building treasures in heaven rather than on earth, my heart needs to be committed and given over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There is no other way that we can build treasures in heaven. We can do all kinds of things. You know, the people that came to God, I mean, yeah, came to the judgment, and they said, Lord, we've done this and we've done that and we've done many wonderful things, and they hear the voice saying, depart from me, I never knew you. Why is that? Could it be that they're kind of like the people that Jesus talked about when they were giving alms or when they were praying? They said they were doing it for the praise of men. They were doing the right thing. They were praying. They were giving. But they were doing it to be seen of men. Brothers and sisters, that does not build treasure in the kingdom of heaven. To build treasures and to have treasures in the kingdom of heaven, our heart needs to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and we need to be doing things because of the love of Him, not for the love of ourselves. There are many practical things, treasures on earth or treasures in heaven, that fall under the pride, property, bank accounts, maybe even self-appearance. Why do we follow the styles of the world? One thing I thought of, put it on this side. That's God's commands. That's God's will for our lives. The world is here. We know that there needs to be a distinction. We know that there needs to be a separation because the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God do not mix. Their goals and aims are not the same. But what happens? What happens when the world moves over to here? Or maybe to here? Do we allow the distance between us and the world to become greater? Or do we begin to follow just a little bit on behind? Brothers and sisters, this morning, if our heart is set on the kingdom of heaven and not on things of the world, what the world does is going to have very little effect on us. Satan is going to try and tempt us. Satan is going to cast roadblocks in our way. But brothers and sisters, the will and command of God is still the same as it always was. And he gives us the power. He gives us the grace and the strength to remain where he wants us to. If we allow the world to influence us in small things, I say small things. What about hairstyles? And that goes for both sides of the house. When we allow the world to influence us in those small things, we are opening the door for more things that are building treasures on the earth. Brother Paul mentioned our vehicles and our wealth. Many of us would say, well, we don't take pride in that. But how influenced are we by what we have to have, by what the world has, by what the world has to offer? There's nothing wrong with a microwave oven. It's convenient. But you know, if we have to have it because everybody else has it, and if somebody comes to visit us and we make popcorn in the kettle on the stove instead of throwing a bag in the microwave, and what are they going to think? And that's just a small illustration. There's a lot more involved in that than just a microwave oven. I can't be driving down the road in an older vehicle because what would the world think? What would my neighbors think? I've got the money and I've got to show it off a little bit. Us as older people, what about our houses? Why do we do the things that we do? Is it to build treasures in heaven because our heart is set on heaven and because our heart is owned and controlled by Jesus Christ? Or is it because we're looking back to Egypt and we have a desire for some of the things that we had to give up when we left there? Where is my heart? Is my heart filled with the here and now or with the future? The Good Samaritan. You know, he apparently was a man of means because he had quite a bit of things on his animal that he took care of the injured man right away. And then he took him to an inn. I don't know if that inn was on the way to where he was going, but I'm sure there was some time spent there. There was some time lost in helping that individual. Not only that, but he gave the innkeeper some money to take care of this man until he was well enough to be on his own again. And he said, if you spend more than that, I'll pay you the rest when I come back. Do we have time for those things? Am I willing to give of my finances that bank account that I'm so proud of? Am I willing to take quite a bit out of that bank account to help somebody who had a misfortune? Where is my heart this morning? Do I allow it to be moved by the Spirit of God to help others? Do I allow it to be moved by the Spirit of God and say, no, Cliff, that is not the Christian way? This is the Christian way. And is that why I'm doing what I'm doing? If that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, no matter what it is, I'm building treasures in heaven. If I am doing things because my heart is in the here and now, I'm building treasures on earth that are going to fade and pass away. Am I decorating my body or the soul, spirit part of my life? You could turn to 1 Peter for that one. Do I want ease, joy, praise, prestige now or in eternity? Turn back to Luke chapter 13. I'm sorry, it's Luke chapter 12. This is the story of Jesus. A man came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, talk to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Jesus says, I'm not a judge or a divider over you. It says in verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things that he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And we know that story. He goes on to say, you know, what am I going to do? He was a rich man. What am I going to do? I don't have any room to go with it. I have so much already. I don't have any room to go with what God has blessed me with. And he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm rich enough. I can tear down my barns. I can build bigger ones. And then I can put everything in it that I have. And then I can sit back and I can say, take your ease. Verse 20 says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? God didn't say, you're a fool because you're rich. God had blessed him. God had given him many things. God says, you're a fool because you're saying, this is mine and I'm going to keep it. God was saying, you're a fool because you already had plenty and you were not willing to share what I blessed you with. God was saying, you're a fool because you wanted to have all the prestige and glory and honor to yourself, saying, look how good a person I am. Look how great a farmer I am. Everything just, you know, came together and I worked hard and I've earned all this, so I'm going to take pleasure in it. And you're not willing to hand out the goodness of God to other people. His heart was not surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. His heart was still ruled by himself and Satan. And that's what God condemned. He says in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. brothers and sisters, the poorest person on earth cannot be rich in themselves. But the poorest person on earth can be rich toward God because of what they do for the honor and glory of God. Is my heart yielded to the lordship and ownership of Jesus Christ? That is the only way that I'm going to be able to build treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupteth, and thieves do not break through and steal. Those treasures are eternal. The ones here on this earth that we spend so much time for, and that we just know we have to finish that goal in order to just increase that a little bit more, or to have satisfaction in it, those are going to all fade away. Those are all going to be left here. Who's going to live in your house when you're gone? Who's going to spend your bank account when you're gone? Who's going to own your car, your tractors, your pickup, whatever it may be, after you're gone? How much time do we spend on those things versus the things of God? Let's kneel for prayer.